6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Game number 78 tonight at T-Mobile Arena. The St. Louis Blues coming to town 43-28-5, 91 points on the ledger against your Vegas Golden Knights. 48-22-7, 103 points high atop the Pacific Division. Getting close on zeroing in and being the Pacific Division champions. We will see if that happens over this weekend. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish. We've got Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet going to join us today. A nice full house in studio. And Frank, just two games left at T-Mobile Arena in the regular season before the playoffs will begin. St. Louis coming to town tonight.
Yeah, St. Louis, and they've been red hot of late. Jake Allen is all of a sudden playing out of his mind ever since Carter Hutton went down, and now Allen 8-2 in his last 10 games. He was struggling before he got injured. Maybe the injury and the rest has revived him, or maybe seeing how the young Hutton was playing made him decide that I better get back in there. But he's been playing well, but it'd really be nice to see a win tonight and then 1 or 2 points on Saturday. I'd love to see them clinch the Pacific Division on home ice at T-Mobile Saturday.
And we will have some tickets for the San Jose game. Actually, we're going to have two sets of tickets to give away, so double your chances to win today. And Ryan Wallace, as you see this weekend shaping up, two teams that are probably going to see themselves in the playoffs are coming to town this weekend. They could see the Golden Knights on their journey, St. Louis tonight and San Jose tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun back-to-back set of days. I'm really looking forward to it. You bring up Jake Allen, and I feel like you do this on purpose, because I swear to God, I never know what you're gonna. You never know what you're gonna get with Jake Allen. He's either amazing, like the second coming of Marty Brodeur, or he's atrocious, yeah, like Antti Niemi. I'm hoping we get Antti Niemi today.
And the big question will be Connor McGahee of AT&T Sportsnet.
Who's that?
He's handsome glasses guy from the television. You know him that way.
Glasses guy. All right, there's no way I'm getting LASIK now. That's
can't do that. Well, we knew though that Jake Allen's going to have maybe the best looking pads in all of the NHL.
They're pretty good. Spencer Martin of the Colorado Avalanche just sent back down to San Antonio. He's got a mountain pattern between the two. Pretty good. Pretty good. But talk about Jake Allen. 6-0 his last six starts. Goals against average under 2. He's at 1.97 right now. And you're right, Ryan. I mean, is this what we're going to see through a playoff run, or is he going to revert back to old Jake Allen mode? Vegas has run up against Antti Raanta on Wednesday as well. Sort of similar boat. Like, start the season out on a different planet, and then he's figured it out his last 14 games. Jake's the same way. So it's tough for Vegas to score goals against these guys right now.
One of the things that we had fun talking about off the air in the office was after the Stastny trade and whether or not St. Louis's front office was trying to tank and not make the playoffs, that Jake Allen found his way back into the net. And was that part of this grand conspiracy to miss the playoffs that is backfired by the front office?
Knowing Doug Armstrong, I would say it was the opposite. I was saying that's his way of telling everybody, look, the expectations are bigger than this. You better get it into gear. And I think a big gamble by Doug Armstrong actually worked.
Yeah, you know, this is such a difficult topic for me, because if I'm the St. Louis Blues, like, if I'm their fans, I don't want them to make the playoffs this year. Like, you trade away Stastny.
You want him to go New York Rangers mode.
Well, no, exactly, because what do you want? Like, do you want 10 years of maybe making it, maybe not making it? Or if you make it, you win one round, or you don't win a round, and you never get to draft anybody that's better than a 16-17 in the first round. At that point, it might as well be a second round pick. I'm sorry, the drop off in talent from 1 through 7 in the draft to everyone else is pretty significant. It really is. So if I'm St. Louis, if I'm a fan, I don't like the fact that this team is winning because they're not going to do any damage in the playoffs. I truly don't think they can match up with any of the teams that are currently in playoff standing right
now. Especially in the Central Division with Winnipeg and Nashville.
Especially in the Central and win a series.
Well, St. Louis is coming to town tonight, 7 o'clock for the pregame show, 7:30 for a puck drop, and we will be with you all the way. It is time now for our Vegas Golden Knights game day preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And as Connor so articulated, they are, in fact, in town. They're not going to come in on a bus.
I'm sorry, Clay. That was a jerk move on my part.
Because, hey, it has taken a long time for this whole Vegas flu thing. They could have very easily spent the night in Kingman.
Well, I think the last time they were here, I think they spent four full nights. They did the rookie dinner, and they spent four, because they came, they had pretty much two off days, so they came early, so they spent four nights in Vegas. So maybe not hopefully for us. Maybe that was back in October, so they want to revisit those activities once again.
Who well, to have your back a little bit, Clay, now, technically they're probably in Paradise, Nevada, then, and not Las Vegas.
So, technically,
maybe they're not in town. But anyhow, St. Louis, Vladimir Tarasenko, since he's been back since being out, has four goals in his last three games, so that's good for him. Like we mentioned, Allen is playing outside of his mind. And I don't know. I mean, if you're St. Louis, and I agree with you guys, I don't think they can win either. But as a team, don't you have to feel that you do want to win? And what we saw Nashville do last year, if you get into the playoffs, Ryan's LA Kings, they got into the playoffs and had seven game series
won a cup as an eighth seed.
Yeah, there's nothing saying that you can't have success there. I agree. I don't think they will, but the goal is to make the playoffs.
And you're talking about, we're going to rebuild through the draft, but you're talking about two, three places in the middle of the first round, not necessarily getting a top one, two, three.
And they've done okay with their personnel. I mean, Petrangelo, Schwartz, you have Colton Parayko, who's in there. Colton Parayko is going to be one of those guys down the stretch who is one of those D-men who's going to be in the big conversation with the big – he's fantastic. You talk to anybody from St. Louis, he's the future there. So, I mean, they've done okay. And the NHL's funny because you can get talent, talk to Ken Holland in Detroit. You can get talent in fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds out of nowhere. That's where his captain's from now. So, you want your star players to come from that high draft, but who knows, maybe you don't need it.
Yeah, unless you're absolutely one of the very worst teams and you're getting like the first three or four picks.
Ryan,
I mean, anything after that can be something.
True.
You cannot look at this roster that St. Louis has right now with no Bouwmeester, with no Fabry, with no Stastny, and even think that they're in the same stratosphere as Nashville last year, LA team that won the cup. And you have to, like, the LA team that won the cup was so stacked, they just couldn't put it together. They couldn't figure out a way to translate their team game to dominating their opponents. And once they did, they were the best team in hockey, and they were the best team in hockey by a long mile. The Blues, they just don't have it. They've got Tarasenko, and that's great, but you need more than a couple of guys on the blue line that can fill in and do some things here and there. You need four good D to win in this league. You just do.
When Vince Dunn is in your top four D, I don't think that's going to get it. But, I mean, as far as top lines go in the NHL, you have Jaden Schwartz, Braden Schenn, and Vladimir Tarasenko. That's pretty good. Reminds me of Colorado, right? Abs are very good with their first line, but after that, then that's where the question marks come in.
Exactly, and then you start talking about playoff hockey, and it's not necessarily your top two lines that are going to win you series.
Yep.
No, that
is true. Three and four.
No, and again, I agree with you guys. I don't see them doing it either. But guess what? At the start of the season, everybody said the Vegas Golden Knights were going to be a garbage hockey team.
And here we are.
The Colorado Avalanche were once again going to be absolutely worse, maybe worse than their 48 points last year. If the guys in the locker room believe in each other and they make it in the playoffs and they can make a run and you do get a hot goaltender and a hot goaltender in hockey, and I've used this analogy before, it's like having a Randy Johnson in baseball that you can pitch every single day. If you have that luxury, I don't think they can do it, but I don't think you go, well, we're not going to make the playoffs, so let's, instead of getting the eight seed, let's be ninth or tenth in division. Yeah. Does that really help you that much in the draft?
No, which is why you tank, so that you get the best option, the best chance, the best odds at getting Rasmus Dahlin.
Pro athletes,
man, I hate the tanking talk. I hate that you can't tell players to tank. Hey, by the way, go out there and start playing really crappy and try not to win this game. Oh, by the way, then we're going to cut you because you just played really crappy, and we're going to bring somebody else in to take your job.
And
you can't tell them that.
And as far as the fan base, yeah, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't have the best shot out of the 16. But guess what? St. Louis is going to have a better shot to win the cup than the Flames, who are going to be sitting at home. The Flames are guaranteed they're not going to make the playoffs. There's nothing to be excited about.
Yeah,
if you're
tough
the Flames,
times in Calgary.
But yeah, but if you're a season ticket holder, or you're somebody that is a fan of St. Louis, at least you get four more days of winter.
Sure. No, I mean, I get it. But I think that if you look at Arizona, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, Arizona gets Rasmus Dahlin. So now they have Hjalmarsson, Dahlin, and they have Oliver Ekman-Larsson. That shores up immediately their defensive deficiencies. So over the next 2 to 5 years, the Arizona Coyotes are going to have a better chance at doing more damage in the playoffs than the St. Louis Blues are over the next 2 to 5 years, because they don't have anybody that's even remotely close to coming in and being that good of a top three defense.
Yeah, and with the exception of the Nashville Predators.
Oh, exactly.
But Nashville is in their league of their own. They just have defensive prospects that David Poile's like, hey, you want? Sam Girard, for example, one of the top ones, and that's in the Kyle Turris trade. Sorry, Frank.
Well, no, I was just going to say, that's also assuming that you're tanking to the level of getting one of the very elite players out there, like Arizona is, and also that you're absolutely right on him, because there's a guy who you talked about the other day and was making fun of, Nail Yakupov, who was a first draft pick. Mm-hmm. How did that work out for Edmonton?
Yeah. Well,
they finally got good later on, but not because of him, in spite of him, because they continued to be a garbage hockey team until they got a guy named Connor McDavid.
But Frank, that's not
Jordan
fair.
Everly.
That's not fair, because I don't know what Edmonton was thinking with Nail Yakupov. Like, They had so many other needs that they could have filled outside of Nail Yakupov, and then they just was like, oh, he's the best player.
Do you think he was a consensus number one at that time, though? Because, I mean, he had it seemed about like 60-40 that he was, and
I just don't trust Edmonton to ever do the right thing.
Then why are you trusting that St. Louis would if they were in the same situation?
Because Doug Armstrong's been GM of Hockey Canada before.
Yeah, I mean,
but again, that's a gigantic tank level.
Yeah, it's
from the last in the playoffs to the first draft pick. It's not realistic.
It would have been before they went on their run right now. It would have absolutely been realistic if they hadn't won 8 of their last 10 or whatever it is. They were in a position where their general manager's sitting there saying, you know what? We can unload. We can be sellers.
Yeah.
Like, you don't trade Paul Stastny if you think this team is good enough to make a run in the playoffs.
And if you're trying to unload a $7 million a year contract as well that Paul Stastny carries. You know what I mean? So it could have been a time where that deal, there's not a lot of teams who are going to be willing to take on that contract, especially. How many years does he have left? Two? Maybe? I'll look. We'll look it up. But anyhow, $7 million, as we know, is a lot of money. So maybe Doug thinks at that point, I finally have a buyer for this guy. No matter what we're going to do, we're on the bubble. This could go one of two ways. We're going to get rid of him. And they did.
And that goes to set to the danger, or to the, you know, everyone says the tanking's the sort of foolproof thing. But even if they were the front office trying to tank, as we have seen in the NBA where Mark Cuban said, yes, we were actively trying to lose games, you still can't convince the guys in the locker room to do so.
Sure. And I guess I would like there to be a different system, like we were talking about yesterday, like maybe, or 2 days ago. Maybe once you're mathematically eliminated, the more points you get from that point forward, you get the first overall pick, which I think is something that's an interesting thing to think about. But in the case of the St. Louis Blues, they traded Kevin Shattenkirk last year, right?
Yep. Traded Washington.
It didn't work out for Washington, right? But then here we are again this year. St. Louis makes the playoffs. They win a round, then they get completely steamrolled. And yet here they are again, trading away Paul Stastny, and they're entering maybe this nowhere land where they're going to make the playoffs and win a round. Like, getting in isn't good enough. You should get in and want to win.
Yeah.
You don't think they want to win?
No, it's not about not wanting to win. It's about not being able to win. They're not going to be able to win.
My point about the contract, by the way, is a bad one, and I'll admit that. Stasny's a UFA after this season.
But you don't trade him.
$7 million.
Like if you,
I retract my previous statement.
If you think that you can do damage in the playoffs, you don't give Paul Stasny away to the Winnipeg Jets, a team that you might play in the playoffs. Okay?
Yeah.
And then just say, oh, you know what? Yeah. I believed in this team, although I traded away one of our key pieces, our key depth pieces, to get there.
Well, one guy that we certainly know will give a 100% effort every time out, always wants to win, and perhaps his previous organization didn't realize that, is Eric Halla. They let him go. They said he wasn't one of the guys that's going to help Minnesota get somewhere. Go ahead, take him Vegas and take Alex Tuck with him. Well, Eric Halla's had a heck of a season, sitting on 29 goals, and our own Frank Harnish caught up with him earlier today and asked him if this was something he thought he could do, or is it just been a dream season?
I haven't really envisioned anything. I just, you know, I just have small goals to begin, and season started snowballing, and I always put you know, small margin goals, and then you know, season goals, and you know, those are personal, and I don't need to share those, but I just been fortunate enough to get a good role in the team and get a good opportunity, and you know, just trying to do what I can to keep that and you know, just become that reliable top six player.
How much has it helped with the guys that you've been playing with guys like Perron and Neal and that on the ice with you a lot of times? I mean, that veteran leadership, has that helped your game some, or has there been adjustments that you've had to make?
No, I wouldn't say adjustments. You learn to play with your line mates as the season goes on, the more time you spend with them, and I have a good relationship with both of them, and I have fun playing with them, and you know, we've had some success, but we put a lot of pressure on each other, and you know, we hold each other accountable. We want to be better, and that's probably been, you know, one of the main things that I've liked the most.
First place in the Pacific Division, you guys can clinch at home ice. Would it be more special to clinch on home ice here in front of the fans at T-Mobile, or as long as you get that Y by your name, is that just the ultimate goal?
I don't look at any of that stuff. I don't care. I only care about playing well, and you know, Y, X, C, whatever the hell, whatever it is, like, it doesn't matter. It's you know, you can have whatever letter, and if you're not playing well enough, it's harder to find it when that game one comes. So I just think, you know, like, all those things go hand in hand. If we play our game and we play, you know, play the right way, those things take care of itself. It's the letters and all that, points and whatever it is, you know, they all go hand in hand. So it's, the better question is just finding our game.
When you speak about letters, there was a lot made at the start of the season that there wasn't going to be anybody with a C on their jerseys. Do you think that was the right choice here? Because it seems like in this locker room, there's a bunch of leaders, yourself being one of them.
Yeah, it's different than what most teams do, and I think that was definitely the right thing. It's hard to go into a new team and kind of establish that. It's something that takes time, and like I said, letters once again, you know. It's obviously, individually, it's a great honor to wear a letter, but you know, time will tell, and time will take care of that as well. And like you said, we have good leaders in the locker room, and that's all that matters.
St. Louis tonight, San Jose tomorrow, two playoff bound hockey teams as well. Playing teams like this, does it help you guys prepare for the playoffs even more?
Yeah, this, you know, preferably play. Play teams that are in that playoff mode, and that gets you more ready as well, and today and tomorrow is a good test for us to see where we're at.
Is there any one thing that stands out from this season, or has just whole season just been one just fun ride and magical ride for you guys?
This season's gone really fast. I feel like for me, it's my fifth season. It just feels like it's gone really fast. So, you know, obviously it's been fun, and things have gone well for the team, and that's noticeable.
That was the voice
Frank Harnish,
Eric Halla, and yeah, he probably the most honest guy in the locker room, huh?
Yeah, he takes everything very seriously. But you know what? I don't care what he says when you're interviewing or nothing else. What I look at is what he does on the ice. And if you would ask 10 people on the street who is second on the Vegas Golden Knights in goals scored, how many would know that it's Eric Halla?
Nobody. No, that's a complete lie.
I mean, there are some diehard fans in that. But the casual fan out there would probably say Marchessault or Neil or Perron. I mean, Halla has had an exceptional season and is maybe one of the least talked about, least appreciated guys on the team.
I agree. And by the way, it's going to be a lot more people than nobody. I was being facetious. Because Vegas Golden Knights fans, people from the rest of North America think that they don't know what they're talking about. Golden Knights fans are very, very sharp, very smart, and they know exactly. They would know this kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually said it's Eric Howla. But he's been good in all situations, too. Five-on-five, obviously, within power play. I mean, he's been almost invaluable to this team. And that second line, I think, is driven by Perron and Howla probably equally.
No, I completely agree. We always kind of sat there before the season and said, you know what, the best player on the ice is probably going to be on the other team. But Vegas is shaping up to have a really good third line, a really good fourth line. And that's been true. But their first and second lines have been among the best in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we didn't expect at the beginning of this year. But it's a huge reason that they're able to roll their four lines, that they're able to get scoring, that they're able to be as high scoring as they are, and that they're in the position they are right now.
And you can make the argument that on the top two lines, the guy that is most essential on both of them is the guy that most people wouldn't have known going into the season, in William Karlsson and Eric Halla.
Eric Halla, yeah. Right.
They certainly have been. Well, Eric Howell is sitting at 29 goals. We hope to see 30 before season's end. Well, we've got some tickets if you want to come out and see Eric Howell tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. Let's take caller number 30, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. Call in right now. Get your tickets up for tomorrow. And if you don't get in this time, it's all right. We got another pair to give away later on in the broadcast. When we come back, I have a feeling things are going to get out of hand as we take a look at the Super 16, and these three guys weigh in on their thoughts about how the NHL has chosen to rank its teams. Stick with us right here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Stefan. He got some tickets to go to the game tomorrow night. We will have some more a little bit later on. St. Louis Blues, they come up tonight, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. We'll have the pregame show. Frank and I will be down at the concourse at T-Mobile Arena, 7:30 puck drop. Then we'll have the intermission reports and the postgame show live from the Beer House as well. And then tomorrow, San Jose will be in town for that game. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and Connor McGahey from AT&T Sportsnet. About to look around the rest of the league. One of our favorite things to do is check out the Super 16 as provided by NHL.com. We will begin right at the very top where, no surprise, the Nashville Predators sit at number one. Any complaints that they are right now the best team in the NHL?
No, Your Honor.
No. I mean, I've been saying for a while that they thought that they were probably the team to beat in the West, probably the team to beat in all of the NHL. I actually thought that before the start of the season. They've actually gotten stronger with Fisher coming back. Now they have Talvanen coming in there as well. The only, I guess if you're looking for a negative, they are 3-for-44 on the power play in 14 games since March 1st, so that's a chink in the armor, but it doesn't seem to affect the fact that they beat everybody when they play.
Nashville is having the season that everybody thought they would have last year. They're the best team in hockey.
Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Coming
and
in,
and they did the Vegas Golden Knights a favor last night as well, beating San Jose Sharks.
They certainly
in
did.
In regulation.
And coming in at number two is the team that has just taken over the lead in the Atlantic that was held all year pretty much by Tampa Bay, and that is the Boston Bruins coming in at number two. How do we feel, Connor, about the Bruins at two?
You know, I'd actually switch two and three if I were making this list, but I'm not writing for NHL.com probably for a reason. Number three.
Coming in at number three are the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel... The Bruins story is amazing because didn't make the postseason last year. GMs around the league are looking at teams like the Boston Bruins, who are now leading the Atlantic, looking at the Colorado Avalanche, who are trying to be in the playoff spot, and said, can we get on that rebuild train, please? It is very impressive. I think overall, as a team, Winnipeg's a better team. I'm just splitting hairs here, but I'm fine with that. I would actually put Winnipeg at number two and Bruins at number three.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe in conspiracy theories all the time and that kind of stuff, but if I was writing for NHL Network, I might want my one and two to be two teams that could face each other in the Stanley Cup Finals. Maybe that's why Boston is ahead of Winnipeg, so we can say our number one and number two in our power rankings went up there. And let's face it, I mean, Boston has also been playing out of their mind of late, and they overtook Tampa Bay last night. And they've actually got a game in hand as well, so they could win the East. And Brad Marchand, if he wasn't such a little rat, would probably be in the talk for the Hart Trophy or something, because the guy's incredible.
Here we go.
Well, at number four is the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Ryan, recent struggles against Boston, does Tampa have something to fear when it comes to their ability to get to the Stanley Cup Final?
Yeah, I think they do. And I think it goes no further than the fact that Andrei Vasilevskiy is exhausted. I mean, he did an interview a couple of weeks ago with The Athletic in which he said, "I am tired. I am tired." You don't want that in mid-March. You want that at the end of June.
when he's on the beach with a shrimp cocktail.
Exactly. That's a problem. And we've talked about Vasilevskiy and whether or not he is up to the task of playing as many games as he has or what he can do once he gets into the playoffs. And it looked like it was clear sailing, and I don't know why Tampa didn't maybe try to rest him a little bit more than they have already, but if Vasilevskiy is the goalie he's been over the last 6 weeks, they're not going to do very much damage.
Well, it'll be interesting, too, to see what happens with him, because they have, with last night's game, they have 4 games in 6 days, so unless they do rest him in some of those, he could get even more tired.
Right, exactly, and Kucherov is kind of come to a grinding halt, and it just, I don't know. Maybe they just got disinterested.
62 games.
That's a lot of games.
I mean, I know that you have Louis Domingue and Peter Budaj as your backup goalies. I understand that. But at some point, when you have a team as good as Tampa, you're just going to have to go and schedule better.
And is Budaj injured, or is he active?
They have him as active.
Okay.
And I will research that
further
now.
Because I don't know
yourselves.
Like, I don't know why after the year Budaj had last year with the Los Angeles Kings, he's more than capable.
He must be hurt. He's only played in 8 games.
Okay, he's more than capable of coming in and righting the ship and giving you a couple of quality starts so you can get Vasilevskiy some help. What did I say before Tampa went in and played Arizona? Louis Domingue's playing. They're guaranteed losing that game. Louis Domingue is not a good goalie. Peter Budaj should at least be able to give you some quality backup starts.
Well, he's been on 3 NHL teams, Colorado, Winnipeg, LA Kings, 4.
Yeah.
So he should be able to go, but his last game allowed 1 goal on 4 shots March 13th versus the Ottawa Senators.
Maybe they should play the emergency goalie.
Yeah, maybe they
foreshadowing, Frank.
Well, coming in at 5 and 6, the teams that will match up tomorrow at T-Mobile Arena at 5, the Vegas Golden Knights, and at number 6, up 2 spots from 8 last week, the San Jose Sharks.
And the San Jose Sharks, I mean, let's face it, I mean, they were literally nipping right at the heels of the Vegas Golden Knights, but they haven't helped themselves very much in the last 2 games. Now, granted, they played tough opponents, but where they had a potential to get 4 points, they've got 1 point. And Nashville last night, they played them tough, but looks like right now San Jose might be settling into that second-place position in the Pacific. I still think they're a quality team, and Evander Kane may be the best pickup of anybody at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I agree. But can you actually look at that and say the San Jose Sharks are a better overall team than, say, the Pittsburgh Penguins? I would say probably.
I wouldn't.
You would not?
No.
No, neither would I. That's what I'm saying, that the Pittsburgh Penguins are number 8 on your list, Clayton, I believe.
That is correct.
And so do they just go down and seek total points in the NHL, and that's what they do?
That's all they do.
That seems a little...
I mean, Connor McDavid's name is still in being mentioned as an MVP candidate.
Right.
They're only looking at points.
Yeah. Exactly. That has no touch on the pulse of the playoff race whatsoever.
No.
And that's why the Super 16 is supposed to change every week, because it's supposed to be the teams that are best right now.
If you were to watch the San Jose Sharks and the Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose is playing good hockey, but I think overall Pittsburgh is a better hockey team.
They're deeper. They've got better goaltending. Yep. Martin Jones is very, very good. I'm not taking anything away from him, but Matt Murray's got 2 Stanley Cups.
Right.
And not only do they think San Jose is better than Pittsburgh, but they also have the Washington Capitals ahead of them coming in the East region here. 7, 8, and 9, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Toronto. Ryan, the hockey guy Wallace, you have the floor.
Very funny.
Yeah, I already told you guys, I'm never, ever, 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 ever picking Washington to win anything when it comes to hockey postseason, period. And I'm not like Washington's been a great story. Alex Ovechkin, the resurgence, 45 goals. He's going to win the Art Ross. And so I'm okay. The Rocket Richard. I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. But they're not going to win in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, especially Braden Holtby was supposed to be a lot better. He's been bad this year. Philip Grubauer has been in, and he's been hurt as well. Minor injury versus the Rangers. So if Grubauer hasn't played as well as he has, which maybe you don't expect him to pull that much weight, then Washington would be in a very much different place than they are.
Well, let's be honest about it. Here in Las Vegas, there's one thing that most people look at for the equalizer when it comes to these kind of lists. You can put Washington 7 and Pittsburgh 8. If they played each other,
which they never will because of the playoffs situation.
Who would the sportsbook have as the favorite?
Pittsburgh Penguins.
It'd be Pittsburgh without a doubt because they eliminate Washington pretty much every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that speaks to volumes. If Braden Holtby isn't your number one goalie, you're not going to do much damage, if any at all, in the playoffs.
Coming in at 10 and 11, two teams that had aspirations coming into the season haven't lived up to and played as well, maybe necessarily, as they had hoped. But do either one of these teams have enough to be a pest come the playoffs, especially in the first round? That's number 10, Minnesota, number 11, Columbus.
Minnesota has the propensity to have great regular seasons, win in the first round, and then lose in round number two. That's sort of... That was the San Jose Sharks' modus operandi for a long time, too, until they went to the Stanley Cup Final. Minnesota, I can see doing the exact same thing. They have the best home record in the NHL, in the West anyhow, and they play well at home, but then down the stretch, Devan Dubnyk, again, very good during the regular season, he gets into the playoffs and he returns to being very pedestrian. Columbus, I think, is a better overall team because you have... All-star level goaltending coming from Bobrovsky, and they have many more pieces that are better and suited for a playoff run, in my humble opinion, which is not worth very much.
Yeah, no, I agree on both counts. Both teams are kind of parallels, if you will, right?
Yeah.
They get in and they either lose to subpar competition.
Well, Columbus always has to play Pittsburgh in the first round.
Or in the case of Columbus, you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's a loss, guaranteed loss. Like, the Columbus Blue Jackets are interesting because if Sergei Bobrovsky has a stellar game and they play the Penguins, they're still going to lose 1-0.
Yep.
Even though they have Artemi Panarin. Like, I give all the credit in the world for Columbus to going out there and saying, you know what? We're going to get Artemi Panarin. He's dynamic. This is what we need. This is what we were missing last year against the Penguins, is a dynamic goal scorer. And they go out and get him. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, I agree. And you have, I mean, Ryan Suter is Ryan Suter. He's a horse for the Minnesota Wild. But you know who I'm excited for this season and beyond for the Columbus Blue Jackets is Seth Jones. Of course, Nashville picked him 4th overall. He sort of fell to number 4 with Tampa selecting Jonathan Duran in that draft. But I'm excited to see Seth Jones' future and see how he performs in the playoff this year and beyond.
I want to throw this in too real quick because we were just talking about Washington and Pittsburgh before that. Toronto's actually ahead of both of those with number 9 in there as well. So I do like Toronto's young youth in that. But I agree with you guys. I think Bobrovsky in the playoffs, I think he has a potential to be a better goalie.
Yeah.
And with Minnesota, just get him to a game 7 because Bruce Boudreau's our coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And starting at number 12, a run of Western teams. At 12, St. Louis, 13, the L.A. Kings, 14, the Anaheim Ducks. So who would you guys rather be?
How is St. Louis ahead of Los Angeles?
I don't
know.
That's the question I was going to ask.
And Anaheim.
Because they have more points in the standings?
It's so stupid.
No, they don't.
Like, I don't get it. Like, like, you have a legitimate Hart Trophy candidate in Andrei Kopitar. Dustin Brown has had a resurgence. You just got Jeff Carter back, who was arguably your best player last year. Jonathan Quick has 2 Stanley Cups. Drew Doughty should be in the running for a Norris Trophy. Like, how is that team worse, based on this, than St. Louis, who has, I don't know.
Who's in a wild card
spot,
by the way. Yeah. Right.
Well, I can tell you how
LA
by this
third in the division.
By this ranking, they weren't rated last week, so they jumped up all the way up to 12, and it's because they've won six games in a row.
So which, at least which on is
that,
fine.
At least on that so one, they are stupid. Trying to take current form, unlike some of the other ones necessarily. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying that's how they would be on this list right now. Because they went from not on the Super 16 at all to jumping all the way up to number 12. So they jumped over a lot of teams because they're hot lately.
So what happens if Arizona wins like nine games in a row? Do they make an appearance on the Super 16?
Then they're the best
non-playoff aspirations?
Then they're the best non-playoff team in the NHL.
I know, but does that bump them into the 16? Do you knock off a playoff team?
Theoretically, it could.
Oh, the NHL's so stupid.
Again, you just have to, the eye test, right? We all watch the games on a nightly basis, and we know who the better team is.
And remember this, too, and we say this all the time. There's a reason people make lists. So people like us talk about them, and their sites and everything else get talked about.
Again, son of a...
I mean, there is a method to their madness, and it's pretty successful.
But I got to agree with Ryan. If I want to be one of these three teams, I clearly want to be LA. I don't want to be either of the other two. Sitting in at 15 and 16, two of the better stories in the NHL this year, the New Jersey Devils and the Colorado Avalanche. They come in just ahead of the two teams outside of the Super 16, Philadelphia and Florida. How do we feel about the end of this list? Anybody believe Philadelphia and Florida should perhaps be on instead of New Jersey or Colorado? Or are we happy?
I'm happy. I really, really like what Colorado's done. I like the way they play the game, except for the games they play against the Golden Knights, because they just try to shut down the neutral zone, and that's it.
But every team—I mean, they weren't successful at it here on Monday, but every team that's pretty much won at T-Mobile Arena has done that this year.
Yeah, and it was a valiant effort. I mean, you know, when you look at the game that was played at T-Mobile, they were able to execute that game plan for the first 25 to 30 minutes. But as soon as Vegas got a lead, Colorado had to open it up. They started to chase the game, and that's the benefit of Vegas playing an opponent like Colorado, because they're not disciplined enough and structured enough to play within themselves if the game gets to a point where they have to chase.
And like we said Colorado had 48 points last year. They're on the verge. They are in Chicago tonight to play your Blackhawks, Frank, and team they've actually had a lot of success against this year, which is actually, past couple of seasons, they've done very well at United.
They always play them tough.
Yeah, and they need these points because they know that they're on the outside looking in. Jonathan Bernier will return tonight. The Hamburglar, Andrew Hammond, had to play last game because Bernier was injured and Varley was sick. So Bernier will return. But both Colorado and the New Jersey Devils are totally okay with me. They're both in pretty much the same spot in the East and the West.
And if it wasn't for the Vegas Golden Knights being in the league this year, they'd probably be the two top stories, or at least the best feel-good stories of the
Bruins,
NHL.
We're going in to the final week. The Rocket Richard Trophy is still up for grabs. Alex Ovechkin leads 45 goals with five games remaining. Guys that are chasing him: Patrick Laine, 43 goals with five games remaining. Evgeny Malkin, 42 goals with four games remaining. And Connor McDavid, 41 goals with four games remaining. McDavid, Malkin, Laine, anybody catching Alex Ovechkin?
I can tell you what my dream scenario would be. my dream scenario is Evgeny Malkin wins it, because once again, Alex Ovechkin loses to a Penguin.
Oh, boy. That's poetic. Very poetic. Look, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Laine, I think.
I agree.
Because Laine's just sort of had the sense for the net this year. And Winnipeg, I mean, they want to push, too. I mean, they want to lock up home ice advantage as number two in the Central. And Laine, in my opinion, has been one of the best players in the NHL this season. I can actually see him getting there, assuming that Ovi doesn't just go on a tear that he tends to do.
Yeah, and again, I think Ovechkin will win it, but I would make Laine the second choice. And also, he's also got one more game than the other two guys out there. But you got to give it up to McDavid. He's really been on a tear since he had 17 goals not that long ago, and all of a sudden now he's up to 41. So he has been playing incredible right now. But hopefully for Laine, he doesn't lose it because he couldn't score on a emergency goalie.
Oh boy,
that's Frank's really hammering the emergency goalie. Oh man,
the only good news out of Chicago.
It's the only reason,
the best
the only reason
season
for anyone to talk about Chicago. No,
even though he stole the Thunder from Brent Seabrook,
he really did. But Brent's okay with that.
Yes, he is.
I'm okay with anybody winning it except for Connor McDavid, because if he does, then he's guaranteed to be the MVP, and I think that's just a travesty if it happens this year.
Yeah,
and we'll look forward to talking more about the Art Ross as the next week unfolds and the ballots get sent in to the NHL. Well, Frank was talking a lot about the emergency goaltender, and that is the story we're going to cover on the other side of the break. But right now we're going to give away those tickets tomorrow night, a 7:30 puck drop against San Jose. Give us a call, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Caller number 27, you are going to the game tomorrow night. When we come back, we are going to check in with Chelsea Dagger with the Blackhawks and one Scott Foster right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. St. Louis in town for tonight's matchup. 7 o'clock for the puck drop, 7:30 for 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:30 for the puck drop. We're going to drop the puck early tonight, Frank, even though you want to. I know
Don't do a ceremonial puck drop.
That's right, yeah. ceremonial puck drop. Congratulations to Timothy. You got the tickets for tomorrow against San Jose. And special
there
thanks
are some
to
who call me Tim.
Yes. And we want to thank everybody out there all season long for calling in, participating, trying to get the tickets. We appreciate you guys.
By the way, if you're going to go there with us, some who call me Tim, it is Easter weekend. Hey, right. So it was a Dynamite Rabbit.
Yeah. Nice. Very good.
Big pointy teeth.
Very good. You never know what's going to happen here.
Scratch. I've heard worse. Just a flesh wound.
On the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Things have gotten out of hand on a Friday.
That's what makes good radio.
Was that Pierre-Edouard Belmar?
He's
been the most beat-up guy on the team this year.
He has. You know, you never know what you're going to hear on this show, and you never know what you're going to see at the arena, and that was the case for all of the folks in Chicago last night who got to see the emergency goaltender, Scott Foster, come out of the crowd and into the net and play a portion of the third period. And this is something we joke about all the time, that the backup goaltender can get in, and he got in last night.
Every building has an emergency goaltender, mm-hmm. So everybody knows there's an emergency goaltender that can be signed to an amateur tryout every night just in case one of the team needs them. And the one emergency goaltender is there for both teams, just to give it a little bit of preface. Frank. And then you may continue on your appreciation of Scott.
Scott Foster.
I've been talking about him all day.
A great job for him last night. Accountant by day, emergency goaltender by night. Mm-hmm. And he gets in there and gets the number one star of the game, makes all seven saves. And something tells me that his phone might be ringing at this time of year right now for people that want their taxes done by the backup for emergency goaltender of the Chicago Blackhawks.
He clearly did not plan to play. He was there just in case something happened to the number one netminder, which it did. So he was called upon to go in, and he was asked after the game what was said to him by Coach Joel Quenneville when it was time for him to go in.
I'm an accountant by day, so a few hours ago I was sitting on my computer typing on a 10 key, and now I'm standing in front of you guys, just finished 14 and a half minutes of NHL hockey.
Did you get any advice before you went out?
I don't think I heard anything other than put your helmet on, and then and now I'm standing here.
You see Joel Quenneville just laughing as you were getting on the ice?
I think I would too.
You're only like 999 behind him now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just about hitting my prime, so.
And that was for Scott Foster, 999 behind Brent Seabrook, who played his 1,000th game last night.
Yeah, almost kind of lost in the shuffle there. And his line mate, Duncan Keith, played his 991st game, so his start of next season, he'll get his 1,000th. But the night belonged to Scott Foster, accountant by day, emergency backup goaltender by night.
The Chicago Steel, who's what? Are you, what?
No, not just the night, but the NHL season. I mean, he's got the best save percentage in the league right now. He's better than Anthony Emme.
Yep.
Get this guy a job.
He just the only down part is he didn't get the W.
Right. It's true.
The Chicago. This is the most relevant Chicago's been all season.
I know the biggest news out of Chicago. The Chicago Steel, the USHL team there, have offered to have him as their emergency accountant.
Oh well. Good luck to you. Scott Foster, he said he was going to button up his shirt and go to work today, but I imagine quite a few people bought him lunch this afternoon.
Maybe his new slogan could be, I stop the IRS like I stop pucks.
Yeah, it's a new commercial right there for you. We will see you tonight down at T-Mobile. Stick around, though, here on Fox Sports Radio for the T.C. Martin Show. The Doctor is next.